You have your Bible, turn with me to Proverbs chapter 4. We're going to start this morning in verse 14 and read through the end of the chapter. Hear then the word of God. Do not enter the path of the wicked and do not walk in the way of evil. Avoid it. Do not go on it. Turn away from it. Pass on. For they cannot sleep unless they've done wrong, and they are robbed of sleep unless they have made someone stumble. For they eat the bread of wickedness and they drink the wine of violence. But the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until the full day. The way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know over what they stumble. My son, be attentive to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not escape your sight. Let them keep them within your heart. For they are life to those who find them and healing to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. Put away from you crooked speech. Put devious talk from you. Let your eyes look directly forward and your gaze be straight before you. Ponder the path of your feet, and then all of your ways will be sure. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Turn your foot away from evil. The word of God. Pray with me. Father, we thank you for your word, which is living and true. Would you speak it to us afresh this morning? Give us ears to hear, to receive your word, even as this father pleads with his children, that we, your children, would incline our ear and that we would indeed receive, that we would be shaped by, changed by your word, that we may walk with you and please you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. People are often surprised to find out that Jesus talked a great deal about the reality of hell. That we find out more about the reality of hell from the lips of Jesus than we do from any other source or any other place in the Bible. He warned his hearers about it very regularly. For instance, in Mark chapter 9, 43 to 4, he says, if your hand causes you to sin, you should cut it off, for it is better to enter life, eternal life, crippled, than with two hands to go to hell. To the unquenchable fire. Unquenchable. Speaks of an eternal punishment. It's unquenchable. It doesn't end. Is it a literal fire? Maybe not. I'm not sure, to be honest. Whatever the reality is, though, whether it's a metaphor for something or with the reality itself, either way, as a metaphor, it conveys a terrible reality. An eternal tragedy. It's not an easy truth, the reality of hell. But Jesus teaches it so clearly, so often, that to follow Jesus, we have to believe him, to reckon with it, to teach it, to live as if it were true. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, Jesus says, "Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, to that same unquenchable fire, to destruction. The way is easy and it's wide that leads to destruction. Those who enter it are many, for the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life. And there are few who find it. There is this broad and easy road that leads to destruction. And what the Proverbs and what Jesus are both saying is that the path of our lives goes somewhere. That it has destination and direction. And this is why in verse 14, the father telling his children is, do not enter the path of the wicked, the wide way that is easy and broad, but it leads to destruction. And he pleads, don't enter there. Don't go there. Don't walk in that way, because that path goes somewhere. Verse 15, he repeats it. How many ways can he say it? Avoid it. Do not go on it. Turn away from it. Pass on. Right? He over and over again, he wants to put this in their head, in our children's heads. There are two paths. And don't go on this one. Right? In verses 16 to 19, he shows that, that these two paths are progressive, that they move forward. They go somewhere. They become either worse and worse and lead to destruction, or they become better and better and they lead to life. Last week we said that our thoughts become actions, and that our actions become habits, and that our habits can become a character, and a character is a progression that is leading us to a destiny, a destination. The more we think and act in certain ways, the more ingrained those ways become in us, so they become who we are. We're being formed, become a path. And so verse 16, we're told that the wicked, they cannot sleep unless they have done wrong. Right? They can't sleep unless they've done wrong. It's become part of their day. My day is not complete till I've done something. Something wicked, something wrong, something rebellious. Right? This is the sense, it's habitual. Can't go to sleep until, you know, it's part of my day. It's a habitual part of who I am. You know, can't go to bed until that time. In fact, at the end of verse 16, he says they're robbed of sleep unless they've made somebody else stumble. I got to get somebody else involved, right? Unless someone else, I want to persuade them, I want to coax them, I want to convince them, I want to bring them on the broad and narrow way. It's easy. It's easy. Come with me. It's not enough to embrace the path of evil myself, this life of rebellion against God, but rather I want approval for it. I want others to stumble with me, to agree with me. Not enough to do it ourselves. I'm going to make a Facebook page. I'm going to have a parade. We're going to try to shape the culture and the polity to legitimize and to maximize. Can't sleep until I've caused someone else. Verse 17, it goes on to say they eat and drink it. They eat the bread of wickedness. They drink the wine of violence. They feed on it. Right? You are what you eat. We've said that over and over again. And over time, the more you eat of a certain thing, the more you become what you eat. Right? And it says their food every day, they eat what they enjoy and it shapes their lives, right? It means it's become a way of life. We have three meals a day and they eat and drink. In this vein, it becomes their way of life, the path they're taking, the road they're traveling. Deuteronomy 8:3 says, man does not live by bread alone, but by man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Right, so you have one path that feeds on wickedness, but there is another path here. That path leads to destruction, but there's another path here that feasts on the word of God. And he says, and it's life, right? Man does not live by bread alone. He lives. By the word of God, right? And so there are these two paths. They both feed on something. One feeds on the word of God and obedience to it, and the other, wickedness. Wickedness is all that is contrary to the word. If you just want a definition for wickedness, as we're saying, one feasts on the word of God, that is, he loves it and obeys it, and one feasts on wickedness, which is rebellion from the word of God. Wickedness is all that is contrary to God's word. It resists and rebels against God. It does not submit to the Creator or the word. So one feasts on God's word and does it, and one rejects it, rebels against it, and their life is shaped in that direction away from God. Scripture has made it so very clear, the path of rebellion against God, of wickedness, rebellion against his word, has one direction. It has one destiny. Romans 1:18, Paul says it in this way, the wrath of God, the unquenchable fire of God, right? That destination which is destruction. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and all unrighteousness, that rebellion against his word. Who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth, right? The truth is God's word and God's wisdom. Wide and easy is the road, he says, that leads to destruction by suppressing the truth and rebelling against it. But the narrow path, the second point there, the narrow path also has progression. It gets brighter and brighter, we're told. Verse 18, it says, the path of the righteous is like, it's like the light of dawn. And it shines brighter and it shines brighter until the full day. What a contrast to is this path of righteousness to wickedness, which is all contrary to God's word. Is this walking in the path of his word? Righteousness is all, if we define wickedness, is all that is contrary to God's word. Righteousness is simply all that is aligned with God's word. So simply to live in alignment with God's word and what he says is righteousness. It's to be on the right path, the straight and narrow, a way of life that is conformed to and being conformed to God's word. Verse 18, it says, the path of the righteous is progressive. At the outset, he says it's like the light of dawn, right? The path of the righteous is like the light, it's like sunrise, right? The light of dawn. When the darkness first passes and turns to light and the sun rises, when a person turns their heart back to God and their Creator, if they've been walking in the path of darkness, And they repent and of their rebellion, of their casting off of his word, and they turn back to the Creator and embrace his word in Christ. We turn from darkness, he says, to light. And that embrace is going to be like a sunrise. Right? And with the first light of the new day, right? When we embrace Christ and forsake the ways of darkness. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 13, it says, who forsakes the path of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, right? And so parallel are these ideas of the righteous versus darkness, right? So the righteous is light, rightness, uprightness versus darkness. These are themes that run through not just the Lord of the Rings, but first through all of Scripture, from Old Testament all the way through the New Testament. Light. It's probably more than this, but light, it is at its minimum, is truth. All right, when we speak of light, he is the light, right? He is, Jesus says, I am the truth. I am the way, I am the truth. And in that sense, I am the light of life. And to embrace this truth. And so truth is God's word and his wisdom. And so when we walk with God, we are in the light. We are able to see. And as we walk with him, the path gets brighter and brighter according to his word and his ways as we know him and love him and serve him. There's an increasing righteousness that happens. As he says, it gets brighter and brighter. We become more and more like Jesus, more and more conformed to his word, the way things are supposed to be. There's this growing blessedness, a growing happiness, a growing joy, living in harmony with the Creator of our souls. And he says, there's a brighter and brighter journey that has a destination that is brightest of all, right? It's brighter and brighter to the full day. Right, we're maturing in wisdom, but the destiny is glory. Right, we speak of the light of his glory. Paul picks up on these themes in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 6 to 8. He picks up on them all over the place, but one of the places here, the wrath of God, we return to there, that place of destruction, the unquenchable fire, the wrath of God, he says, comes upon who? The sons of disobedience. Sons of disobedience are the ones walking in the path of wickedness, which is contrary to the word of God. It disobeys it, right? And so we have these themes. The wrath is coming on the sons of disobedience who are taking that path. And then he says, therefore, do not become partners with them, right? That's what 14 and 15 say. Don't enter that path with them. Don't go that way. Avoid it. Turn away from it, right? Paul's saying all the same things. For at one time or another, you were in darkness. We all had to turn from that path at one point or another to the Lord. And he says, but now you are light in the Lord. And being light in the Lord, walk as children of the light, right? The light in the Lord Jesus, right? And we get into the light by getting into Jesus through faith and trust in him, that he is who he said that he is, that he has done for us what he says he can do for us in dying for our sins. And we, when we are in him, when we're in the Lord, we are light in the Lord, and we can walk with Jesus. We walk in the light as children of the light because we're following him. It's his path. Verse 19 says again, the opposite, the way of the wicked is deep darkness. They don't even know over what they stumble. They don't know where they're going. They don't know what their end will be. They don't know where their path leads, and they don't know that their wickedness is wicked. In fact, they call woe to those who call darkness light, who call bitter sweet. But they do. They call it sweet. They think it is their light. It's what they love because they cannot see. They stumble. And they don't even know they stumble. But God has made this way, right? For the sons of disobedience described here, he has made that way to return to him and to return to the light, right? It is by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We can be, Paul says, light in the Lord. Right, Matthew chapter 4, verse 16, quoting the Old Testament from Isaiah, it says, the people dwelling in darkness, right? Described here in verse 19, the deep darkness. And those dwelling in darkness have seen a great light. Those dwelling in the region of shadow of death, on them a light has dawned, right? This is, Christmas is coming, right? This is Jesus has come. These are applied to Jesus in his birth in the first chapters of the scripture, of the gospels telling us. Jesus is the light that dawns. And then when we embrace him, we also know the sunrise. He is the light that shines in the darkness. 1 John 1:7 says, if we walk in the light, as he, the Lord Jesus, is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. We're a church, a body, a family together, traveling, co-travelers down the same path, the same journey, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin, right? The light dawns, right? And if we walk in the light as he's in the light dawns when our faith is in Christ and our sins are forgiven. That is the sunrise. It's the beginning of a journey with him. And he says, when we start to follow Jesus, when we love him and serve him and obey him and his word, we travel down a path of righteousness, ever brightening light, brighter and brighter until as we become more and more like him, right? We're talking about sanctification, brighter and brighter, more and more like Jesus, more and more clear who he is and what the truth is. We're growing in wisdom, right? And in understanding. 2 Corinthians 3:18, it says this, we all with an unveiled face beholding the glory, right? The light of his glory. We all with unveiled faces beholding the light of his glory, we're being transformed into the same image, the one whom we are beholding from one degree of glory to another degree of glory, right? It grows brighter and brighter until the full day. Matthew 14:43 says, the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Daniel chapter 12, verse 3 says, those who are wise, this is what we're talking about, wise according to the word of God. Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky above. Those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. There are those who can't sleep until they have caused someone else to stumble. But here are those who would turn many to righteousness. And they, he says, will shine like stars in the sky forever. So there are these two paths, these two progressive paths. And so point three in your bulletin there is that you got to choose your path very carefully and deliberately. And that's what this parent, this father, is trying to communicate to his children. Right? So in verse 20, he returns to this call, my son, I need you to be attentive to my words. I need you to hear me. I need you to understand what I'm trying to tell you. It is a matter of eternal life and eternal death, and I'm trying to convey the truth and the power and the importance of these things to you. My children, verse 20, be attentive. Listen, incline your ear. Right, parents, we labor to train up our children in the way they should go. Right? Don't all of us, that is what our goal, that's what we want our children, nothing more that we want for our children than for them to go, train them up in the way they should go, on the path of knowing, loving, honoring, and obeying and serving their Creator God, to live in harmony with Him and in alignment with His Word all their lives, to know the joy and the life and the health and the wholeness that comes to all that, both in time and in eternity. But our children, and if you're a child here this morning, the decision is ultimately yours. You must ultimately choose. He says in verse 21, let us keep these things close. The truth has to be close because the path of the wicked is close, right? Let them not escape your sight. Keep them within your heart. Keep them very close because the path of the wicked is not often the distance somewhere out there. We've said before, it's something that we cross every day. We pass this fork in the road every day, when you turn on the TV, when you turn on your computer, when you look at your phone, when you're scrolling social media, whether it's your friends who entice you or whether any number of any influence that would have in our lives, we cross them day after day. And he says we got to remember the words of God. Right, 22, for they are life to those who find them. They are healing to the flesh, to the soul. They bring wholeness to your life. And every day, moment by moment, we choose the path. The Father here pleads. Right, as parents, I've felt it myself. I know that you have, you're a parent here today. At any time in your life, and when you have kids, there are times that you just wish you could just take hold of them and you just make them understand. Make them do the right thing, right? If I could somehow impose it on them so that they would, I just want nothing more from my child than that, right? And if we could, we would. Protect them. Help them to choose well. But we're like this guy. All we can do is be like my son, my daughter. Hear me. I'm telling you the truth. The most important truth you will ever hear. Please, please hear what I'm trying to tell you. And then we pray. We train them, and we pray. So how do we stay on the right path? That's your final point there in your bulletin. How do we stay on the right path? Well, he tells us. Verse 23, he says you got to keep your heart. And you got to keep your heart with all vigilance. Keep there means to guard. In fact, literally, the translation could be, above all guarding, guard your heart. It gives this, above all the things you could guard, whether it's your 401k or your reputation or anything else you can think of that you want to guard in your life, he says, above all the things you guard, you better guard your heart more than anything. And the reason? Well, he gives the reason. He says, for from it flow the springs of life. It's the source of everything. It's the source of your thoughts and your words and your deeds, your living, and so your path and ultimately your destination. It is the source and the spring of, he says, life. And it's interesting, in verse 24, he immediately goes into our speech and our mouths. Because in 24, then he says, put away from you crooked speech and devious talk from your mouth. And the reason is, and in Proverbs is going to do this, we're going to see as you get into the actual Proverbs and that run through the rest of the book, so many of them are about our mouths and what we say, how we love one another or don't love each other, how we build or destroy with our words. And what he says here is he makes a connection between the heart and the mouth. Because if we want to put away crooked speech and put away devious talk, we want to change these things. He says these things flow from the heart and we must go to the source for healing. You want to change what comes out of our mouths, right? We're going to have to get back into the source to find the healing. Proverbs 15:7 says, the lips of the wise spread knowledge, but not so the hearts of fools. Right? You see, parallel in there are lips and the heart. The wise and fools, but the lips of the wise versus the hearts of fools, because the lips and the heart are so deeply connected. Jesus says the same thing. Matthew 12, verse 34, he says this, how can you speak good when you are evil, when your heart is evil? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the abundance of the, or in other words, to control your mouth, your heart has to be mastered by the word of God and the wisdom of God and the presence of God. Right? There are so often we would say things like, you know, I don't know why I said that. Jesus says, I know exactly why you said that. I know exactly where that came from. And if you don't know where it came from, you got work to do, probably on your knees with the Lord, to find the source. Because the healing for those things is in the source, and the source is in our heart. Proverbs and Jesus are concerned about the same thing. What is it that is abundant in our hearts? What is in abundance here? Because what is in abundance in the heart will flow out of us, first in our thoughts, and then in our words, and then in our deeds. Life will flow out from that inner core of who I am, the center. Verse 25 to 27, he tells us that you got to look directly forward, straight ahead, ponder your path, don't swerve either way, right? And just over and over again, you need to gaze, your gaze be straight, ponder the path of your foot, do not swerve to the left or do not swerve to the right. And what is he saying? Swerve away from what? From the path of wisdom, from the words I'm saying to you, from the truth I'm conveying to you, which again comes down to the word of God, right? There are a lot of things in life that are going to be speaking into your life, off to your left, off to your right. You're going to hear this guy whisper and this guy say. You're going to hear this at work, this pressure there. You're going to be scrolling your social media. And he says, don't look at those things. Don't turn that way. Don't pay attention to those things. Do not look at the culture, the secular world, your friends or social media. He said, keep your eyes fixed. Ponder the path of wisdom and righteousness, of truth. Keep your eye fixed on the word of God. Because wisdom comes to us through the word. And our hearts are protected by the wisdom of God's word. Right? We're told that the scripture is inspired by God and it's profitable to teach us and to train us and to correct us. Right? It says that it's there. It is the word that corrects all those wrong things that are coming at me. Right? It is the word of God who teaches us righteousness and the path to go forward. It is the word that protects us from all the lies, all the deception, all of the voices that are all around us. So we have to look directly into the word. It protects us. Our thoughts and our words and our actions are going to arise out of the abundance of the wisdom of God's word stored in our heart. And the heart here is this, the totality of your inner person. It's your thought life, it's your emotions, it's your affections, the things you cling to, the things that you love. It's who you are in the deepest places. And God lays claim to it, all of it. The first and greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, right, with all of your strength, with all of that inner strength of who you are in heart and soul, he says, needs to love him. Keep your eyes fixed. Ponder your path. Don't look to the left or to the right. This is your first and greatest love. It needs to govern the inner places. God lays claim to it. This is the first and greatest command, but the second command is like it. It says we're to love our neighbors. And how do we love our neighbors? Well, with our words and with our actions. It's the rest of the book of Proverbs. It's going to talk a lot about our words, what we say to people, and our actions. How fair we are, how kind we are, how righteous we are, all of those things. And in the way that we love our neighbor, it's going to come out of here. But he is saying this, that all of those things, how we love our neighbor, is the second command. The first is to guard your heart. And to love the Lord your God with all of your heart and all of your soul. That comes first. And they cannot be reversed. People try to reverse them, the first command and the second. If you don't do the first one, Abraham Kuyper says the first command guarantees the second. But the reversal of order is fatal. To love your neighbor and then love God. And we will fall down on that if we don't get the first right. In other words, the heart is the issue. And we have to have our heart right to live right. And so we guard it. There's a whole sermon here then on guarding our heart, keeping our heart into the means of grace and the ways that we do that. And one of the first is to be here, is to be part of a church, a fellowship, a people, a fellow travelers on the same road, underneath the preaching of God's word, studying his word, people who will challenge us when we're out of accord with his word. This is one of the first ways, but there's a whole life of personal worship and devotion and Bible studies and other ways that we feed our souls and guard our hearts, protecting this first love. I'll leave you with this image. It's one of my favorite. It came into my Christian life very early when I read a book, and it used this image about the inner spiritual life. If you've been through the new members class, you'll remember it, but I'll remind you of it nonetheless. On February 12, 2014, a Corvette museum was swallowed by a sinkhole down in Florida. So you can Google it and look it up. 2014, a Corvette museum in Florida. Sinkholes are fairly common down there. And a hole opened up and swallowed the whole museum. There are pictures of Corvettes, you know, face down in the hole. Millions, $5 million worth of damage, all these cars. A sinkhole is when underneath the ground there is an underground spring or a lake filled with living water. And when that water drains away, there's nothing then supporting, you know, that's a strong support for the surface. You can build museums and all kinds of stuff on it. But if that drains away and there's nothing, there's a void underneath, inside, then when you build things on top, it can't carry the weight and it collapses in because there's a void inside, right? The ground, the crust can no longer support what's built on it. If the spring isn't full inside, underneath. And what I'm saying is this, what they're saying is this, how do we stay on the path? He's reminding us that the most important thing about you is what is underneath, right? Is what is hidden in your life. It's your heart, because it supports everything else. Everything you seek to build in your life, to do in your life, from your family to your work to your Christian life, and all these things are supported. All that we're trying to do up on top is supported by this inner spring that needs to be full. To guard the heart is to keep it full through love and worship of God and walking with him day by day. See, you and I live in two worlds. There is this hidden and private world of yours, and nobody goes there but you and the Lord. In fact, the Lord, the scripture calls it a temple. Your inner world is the temple where you know, love, and worship God. We live in these worlds where there's an inner private world and there's an outer public world. We are often consumed with, running around like chickens with our heads off, consumed with the outer world. And if something is neglected, it usually isn't our outer world. There's what we call the tyranny of the urgent, and we will do everything else to the neglect of our own souls, to the own hearts. He says, above all, everything else you guard, guard your heart. You live in two worlds. There's an inner private one. There's an outer public one. But the inner world is the most important, because there you meet, know, love, worship, and cling to the Lord. Pray with me. Father, we thank you for your word that is living and true. And we pray that you would write these things on our souls in such a way that for ourselves and for our children, we would not be sons of disobedience. We would be sons of light, children of light, walking on the path with you, Lord Jesus. So would you capture us afresh as we put our faith and trust in you. We pray that we would grow brighter and brighter from glory to glory to the full day when we see you face to face, and we will be like you, because we will see you as you are. We look to you and we look to that day, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.